10:33. I've got 30 slides. I have been working on this lesson for 2 weeks. Sandra said, you've never prepared for a lesson this much. And I said, well, what I'm trying to do is hard, and it's gotten harder every day I got closer to this lesson, and I've actually thought about throwing it out. But I'm going to do it, and we're going to see how it works, and it might be a flop. But daily Bible reading is so important, and we'll go to the scriptures and talk a little bit about that. But we are going through the prophets. We're going to hit the prophets this year. And you should have read Isaiah 1, 2, and 3. And if you didn't get through 2 and understand pride is an issue to God, there's so much in Isaiah and how he's going to destroy the leaders in chapter 3. And the point is the prophets are so applicable to us today. And so my goal today is to try to take the prophets, break them down a little bit, get you a little bit more comfortable. My slideshow is probably, you know, you might want to have it, at least one graphic out of it, so maybe you can try to understand. But the prophets has a lot of poetry and symbolism, and so it's a little harder to understand. But the important thing is we need to understand it. And the reason we need to understand it is, number one, 1 Timothy 4:13, and talking about scripture reading, Timothy is told by Paul is to do a public reading of the scriptures at Ephesus. And so he's told to do that. And so we as a church, you see us doing reading the scriptures every service. We try to read the scriptures. And we're trying to stay in the scripture because that's so important. And if you get in the back part of the New Testament, you see John, Peter, and Paul all emphasizing the scripture because error has already set into the New Testament church just 40 years after Christ came. Galatians 3:24. So this is kind of digging at the Old Testament is important to us because here Paul tells the Galatian brethren that the law is a tutor to lead us to Christ. The law is a tutor to lead us to Christ. And then we see in Acts, we always use this, but notice that the Bereans were noble-minded. You want to be known as noble-minded Christians. But they examined the scriptures daily. And what scriptures did they examine? They didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. They were examining the scriptures daily to look and find Christ. And that's something we need to be doing. In Acts 8, we see the Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading Isaiah. Reagan read from Isaiah 52 and 53. That's where the eunuch was reading from. And he's... Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? Now, this is a smart guy. Number one, he could buy a scroll. And he was the Candace's treasurer. But he couldn't understand. And Philip began from the scriptures to he preached Jesus to him. We can find Jesus in the Old Testament. We can find him, especially in the prophets. We can find him all through there. And then lastly here, two last things. We see in Acts 28, Paul is preaching to the Jews in Rome. It's whenever he's in prison and it's the last chapter in Acts and he's in Rome. And he takes all day and he's going to go over the law of Moses and the prophets and he's going to teach Christ. And he did it all day. I get excited whenever I can do that. And we should be excited to do that. And then, most importantly, this last one here, in Luke 24:27, then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. How did Christ teach about himself? He went through Moses and the law and the prophets. So, I think you can read a little bit of this. It's not important that you read it. It's just, I'm taking a very high level view, and we're going down in the Bible. We're going to, do we understand the structure of the Bible? The structure of the Old Testament that we have today is set by the Septuagint. And the Septuagint was a Greek translation from the Hebrew Bible a couple of hundred years before Christ came. And we know when Christ quotes scriptures, you can kind of examine the scriptures, you can tell whether he's quoting from the Septuagint or that he's quoting from the Hebrew. Okay, so the Hebrew Bible was transcribed into Greek in the Septuagint. And the way the Bible's broken down, and some nuances that we know is 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles were one book in Hebrew. They were broken up into the Septuagint. They were broken up into those areas. And so we got the major and the minor prophets out of the Septuagint whenever they were organizing the scriptures. Now, there's conflicts with different groups on the Old Testament, if there's some apocryphal books, but everybody agrees these books are scripture. And these were there. So you have the law, which is Genesis through Deuteronomy. And that's giving, number one, we find out where we come from in Genesis, and then we find the law. And then we have the books of history, Joshua through Esther. Those are history books. Those are telling us from Judges, from whenever they enter, Joshua, where they enter the Canaan, until Esther, and basically you have to go to 2 Chronicles to whenever the scriptures go silent after captivity. But that tells us the history of the Jewish nation, Judah, mainly. We have poetry. That's Job through Song of Solomon. So there are five books of poetry. And we see a lot of the emotions that we can see in the Old Testament. Then we have the prophets. And this is where we're going to spend all our time today, is dwelling on the prophets. And so we have five books that they call major. And then we have the minor. The only difference between those is it's not whether they're important, it's the length of them. That's all it is. And that's how they're grouped. And these books are dispersed, and these books are all dispersed together. Just real quickly, hitting the New Testament as a high view, you have the Gospels that tells us about Christ's life. Acts is going to tell us the church and how it grew. Paul's letters. You can debate whether Hebrews is Paul's letters or not. That'll be a debate you can have. And then James and Peter, John and Jude's writings are at the end of the New Testament. So that's the scriptures, and these are all letters to churches or individuals. And so that's kind of the high level of the scriptures. Now, we're headed to the prophets. Parallel history books to the major and minor prophets. Whenever we study the prophets, you're only going to go to 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and I threw Esther in there because it covers the time frame in there. So, if you're going to understand the context of the prophets, you're going to go to these books. And notice, the prophets give you, there's a lot more information in the prophets than there is in these books. So to understand why the Jews felt like they felt, to understand why the Jews felt like they felt, you go read the prophets and you can see why they had some misconceptions during Christ's time. So, this is important that you understand that. Next, and I know you can't see this in the back, and I apologize. This is a graphic I got off the internet, and there's a bunch of them, and I finally landed on this one. Here's the important things that I think you need to know. is you have an Assyrian Empire. And notice that the Assyrian Empire, this is who God had go destroy the northern kingdom, was the Assyrians. Then the Babylonian Empire comes into play. They take over the Assyrian Empire. They're the ones that destroy Judah. Then you have the Medo-Persians. The Medo-Persians are the ones that reestablish the Jews back into Judah and help build the temple. Notice the northern kingdom ends right here at 722. You can argue whether 722, 721, there's historical documents. But the northern kingdom, so you have Jeroboam and other kings here. It ends here. The Assyrians come into Israel and destroys the northern kingdom. Then they do try to take Judah. Hezekiah relies on God, and through the prophets, they repent, and God saves them. But then, so Hezekiah then leaves, and then Manasseh. Manasseh is an evil, very evil king. There's actually one missing out of this list here. And then, so you have 50-something years of Manasseh, then Josiah, who comes back in, reestablishes. But the Babylonians come in and destroy in 605, and there's three deportations starting in 605 or 606, however you want to do that. And there's 70 years of exile. So this graphic here, so that's kind of world history. But the prophets fit into this is, and just as I did in my Bible class, I'm going to throw some dates up here. And by the way, if you'll notice, like Hosea, they put Hosea here. I'm going to give you one specific date. But we know Isaiah prophesied through a number of kings. I'm just going to give you one date, just kind of, this is when it probably started. So don't get hung up on the dates that I'm going to throw up here. It's to generally to show you that there are four groupings of prophets. That's what I want you to get out of today. There's a group of prophets that handle the divided kingdom. And we're going to talk about that. Then there's a group of prophets when Judah's alone. There's a group of prophets to get the temple built. And then there's one prophet at the end that is rebuking Israel, Judah. And that's the last time we see God speaking to his people. So there's four groups. During the Assyrian, divided kingdom, Judah alone. I hope I'm getting this right, Reagan. Return from captivity, and then Malachi at the end there. And by the way, this graphic here has Ezra and Nehemiah. They're not prophets, or they're in the history books, and they're supplements, and that's why they're in there. So, now, we're going to run through... I wasn't supposed to have that graphic. I'm reading that. I'm hidden graphics. I'm not supposed to be hidden. Amos. Amos is around 788. Amos is going to prophesy to both northern and southern kingdom of Judah. And they're in the divided kingdom. The indictments are against the nations of Judah and Israel. That hits the first chapter all the way through the second chapter. Judgment of Israel. And the judgment of Israel is going to be the Assyrian captivity. But notice the Assyrian captivity happens 60 years after this. 60 years after this. And then notice on most of these outlines that I throw up here. These are not my outlines. I have some books that I go and kind of play around with them. But notice the word restoration here. The prophets are always given hope, and they're given hopes in two ways. They're given hopes to the children of Judah at that time, and they're also given the hope of the Messiah coming. And that's why we have in Isaiah, we go to Isaiah to do Lord's Supper talks and different things. Joel, is 865. And so he's only preaching to Judah. Now, Joel's a conflict book. Some people think Joel could have occurred 150 years after this. But the whole point is you can go play around with some of the dates, and Joel's one that people have questions of. It's talking about a locust invasion, judgment of God's people, consolation of God's people, and judgment on other nations. So up here, my second is who the prophet's mainly going after. And I only quantify the main people. If you're going to Isaiah and others, they're going to talk about a lot of other nations. But I'm only kind of giving you a high-level summary. This is about Judah, okay? And so Joel is talking about Judah, and there's your outline of looking at that. And notice, people like Joel, that's just three chapters. It's three chapters. And we all know the story of Jonah. Jonah's actually a little bit different book. It's a narrative of the prophets. We all love Jonah. I love Jonah. Christ refers to Jonah, right? It's the sign of Jonah. 3 days, I'll be in the tomb, right? He refers to Jonah. And so Jonah is about 50 years before Assyria takes over the northern kingdom. But Jonah is to Nineveh. So there's two books that are to Nineveh, or the Assyrians. Whenever you see Nineveh, just think Assyria. Nineveh was a capital city. But I asked Sandra, I said, how do we remember the two books? And Sandra came up with a good way. There's this N-A-H. So you have Jonah and Nahum. So if you'll remember the two N-A-H's, minor prophets are both to Assyria and to Nineveh. So you can kind of, that kind of helped me to, I always forget Nahum is not to Judah or the northern kingdom. So Jonah's really a story, it's a narrative, and it's about supposed to be going and preaching. And by the way, 770, you can find all kind of different times. It's hard to pinpoint when Jonah went to Nineveh. And so that's hard. Hosea is to the northern kingdom. And it's during 750, so it's about 30 years. And, Hosea marries Gomer, a prostitute, and Gomer leaves him. And she has three kids. And you basically have Hosea's family symbolic of Israel's adultery. And then the last part of the book, 4 through 14, prophecies revealing the message behind the symbols. I think it's Hosea chapter 6. He talks about he's going to destroy them for the lack of knowledge. So if you don't think this has applicability to us today as Christians, the northern kingdom is going to be destroyed because they didn't have the knowledge of God. And that's why our daily Bible reading and studying, because if Christ is going to preach about himself from the law and the prophets, shouldn't we understand the prophets? Because the prophets is telling us over hundreds of years that Christ is coming. And that should be a big encouragement. And Hosea is one of those books, and we know the northern kingdom is destroyed, never brought back. And we know that that's the case. Micah, so you can argue whether Micah or Isaiah, which one comes first or start. But if you look at the literature, Micah and Isaiah are similar. Isaiah is a lot more written. But its judgment is coming on Judah. Restoration follows judgment. God always, whenever he brings judgment, if people repent, he will bring them back. That should be very encouraging for us Christians. And charge against Israel and the promise of salvation. And so we see this reoccurring thing of restoration and salvation coming from the prophets, even though God's bringing their judgment. And there's people lost, but if you repent, God's gonna work with you. Isaiah, where Reagan read this morning, is one of the most quoted books of the Old Testament. And we probably know, you know, I've studied it the least. I'm up here convicting myself. I'm hoping you realize, and that's one reason we need to be doing Bible reading and studying. And we should not be ashamed to raise our hand and say, I don't understand this. I was reading in Isaiah. I think it was Thursday night. And I was like, I don't understand that statement. Now, Sandra, I asked, you know, Sandra, I was doing it, and she understood it. And I had to go look it up. So some of this symbolism and different things, I'm not good at poetry. But you can get good if you work at it. And we need to be working at it. Because Christ taught from that. He taught about himself. And so we see the judgment of God's people and the nations. And so this is, you know, one of the books that other nations are mentioned. I didn't put that up here that, you know, Judas, who he's mainly to, but there's a lot of others. It's dear in the divided kingdom. One of the interesting things I find about Isaiah that I think helps me remember some things, notice he's talking about judgment. Notice it ends in chapter 39. 39 is how many Old Testament books there are. Always remember that. There's a dividing point there. And then we have the restoration and salvation of God's people from 40 to 55. That's where we start seeing prophetic utterances of Christ. And that's why we read a lot in this area of Isaiah. And the future of God's people, 56 through 66. And I think there's 66 books in the Bible. So I think that's pretty interesting. That's the engineering you mean. Okay. We just covered Jonah, Joel, Amos, Hosea, Micah, and Isaiah. That's a group of prophets that occur. Now, Isaiah goes past 720. But the point is, you can kind of say 700 and back, those are the prophets. Okay? Now we're fixing to get into Daniel, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah as the major prophets. Nahum, remember Nahum? N-A-H. Jonah, N-A-H. They are to Nineveh, so they're not to Israel. Zephaniah, which is going to be similar to Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and Obadiah. Obadiah is not to the children of Israel either. That's not to Judah nor children of Israel. Obadiah is to Edom. And remember, we'll see that Edom is Esau's offering. Nahum, we talked about that. 628. And this is where Nahum is telling that the Assyrian Empire is going to fall. And the Babylonians are going to come take them. And God's wrath is against Nineveh. Depiction of Nineveh's fall, a mocking and lament of Nineveh. And so there's prophecies here, and those prophecies live true today. Zephaniah is similar time frame as Nahum, and it's to Judah. Judgment against Judah. Judah's, as you know, Manasseh set up idols in the temple. And so Judah's very evil at this time. Josiah was trying to do the reforms. Judgment against the nations. And so there's more than just Judah and the future of Jerusalem, and there's hope there. And so there's always hope in these prophets. Jeremiah, you know, whenever I think of prophets, it's one of the easier ones for me to read. And it's got some really cool stories in it. And, you know, poor old Jeremiah finds himself in the bottom of cisterns and other places. But 627, Jeremiah goes for many years. This is just kind of where it began. He's prophesying to Judah and trying to get them to repent. Jeremiah's call, judgment of Judah. Jeremiah's life before the fall of Jerusalem. The fall after Jerusalem, so he's still there. and oracles against other nations, and a historical appendix of discussions there. And so Jeremiah is trying to get the Judah to repent, and obviously they're not. Lamentations is right there. It's a lament. All this is a lament of Jerusalem falling, and Jeremiah writes this, is what we believe. And so you can say Lamentations. Notice I put Judah alone slash captivity, because there's a question when he starts writing that. Was it before the third deportation? And you can see the outline there that I'm not going to cover. Habakkuk is during this same time. Remember, we're working in that group where the Babylonians are going to come and destroy Jerusalem. And Habakkuk is having a conversation with God. And Habakkuk is complaining about the evil in Judah. And so God answers him, says, I'm going to deal with it, and I'm going to send Babylon. And then Habakkuk said, but they're worse than we are. And so the point is there's a conversation here. You see possibly some of God's thinking. It's not about them. It's about my people and their adultery and what they're doing. And so God answers that. And Habakkuk is an interesting book. And to me, it's one of those books that you see this conversation between God and him, and how sometimes you think, you think about somebody else is worse than you, so therefore God's going to get them first. Habakkuk might be a book to go look at, because God disciplines those who he loves. That's Hebrews 12. And so remember that happens. Ezekiel is taken away to Babylon, remember there's three deportations, and he writes against the oracles. He writes against Judah and Jerusalem through the first 24 chapters. Other nations are called out in about seven chapters here, and prophecies of restoration and a restored temple. Notice restoration. God's going to bring his people back after punishing them. And I think that's a theme that we see in the New Testament. If God's going to discipline us, he welcomes us back whenever we repent. And we see that in the prophets. We see that in the prophets all the way through. Daniel, we do a lot of children's books around Daniel. And Daniel is taken, we believe Daniel's taken away in the first deportation. And Daniel, the whole book of Daniel, as Ezekiel, is written while he's in Babylon. And so, and the first part is his experiences in Babylon. And remember, Daniel becomes a very old man in captivity, because he's there when the Babylonian Empire falls and the Chaldeans take over. And then we see Daniel's visions of the future events, and that's where we see the different empires that's going to come in the future, past the Medo-Persians and the Babylonians and the Medo-Persians, the Greeks and the Romans, in which during the Roman Empire we see our Lord and Savior coming. And so we see that there. Obadiah is going to be a prophecy. This is one of the three books that are not about Judah, primarily about Judah and the northern kingdom. It's about Edom. And remember, Edom is from Esau's lineage. And judgment against Edom, Edom's sins, and reversal of the fates of the days of Yahweh in 15 through 21, as that outline states there. So we just covered Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Nahum, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, and Obadiah. Those are all in the time frame of the Babylonians capturing Jerusalem and taking them away into captivity. Then we go to Haggai. We're going to go to this time period here. This is the restoration. This is where the Medo-Persians are going to send them back. And basically, and remember, guys, I've done some very high-level summations here. Don't called me out on not covering everything. Haggai is going to be about rebuilding the temple and Judah's return. God's call to rebuild the temple, response to the first message, the second message, and uncleanliness and blessings, and he's calling them to repent and concerning Zerubbabel. And so, and remember, as you read this, you can go to 2 Chronicles and understand some of the context of these books. And that you have to read both areas there. Zechariah is very similar to Haggai and about rebuilding the temple. And I put repentance here because he goes through a number of things that they need to repent of, and this is the rebuilding the temple. And call to repentance, you see visions there, the prophetic message, and some apocalyptic oracles there also presented. And then lastly, we're going, we get down to Malachi here, and notice that we're around 530 here. That's 70 years. You see that the children, Judah was in captivity, and they come back and they need to build the walls. And you know, Ezra and Nehemiah are in those discussions, but rebuilding the temple. And so that's the temple that, you know, we see the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. This is the temple that was built in this time frame that Haggai and Zechariah is saying, hey, you need to get God's house built. And they need to repent. Then we have Malachi here, and we have a number of things that are discussed in Malachi, and you can see that there's something there about Edom, but it's against the priest. You know, this is a place, a book where, hey, don't bring your sacrifice, you just close the door. You know, I'm tired of your sacrifices. They don't mean anything because you're mistreating people. And marriage and divorce is discussed there. God despises their unfaithfulness. They're withholding tithes, and they're just a broken group of people that Malachi is dealing with, and so the point here is God's always sending prophets, and he's sending hope to his people. And here, you know, we read about Elijah being talked about, and you remember the discussions in the Gospels around, is this Elijah? Well, this is from Malachi. The Jews knew this. And, you know, I'm always amazed that this woman excuse me if I get this wrong, that she had six husbands, you know, in John 4, the Samaritan woman, she understood that Christ the Messiah was coming. She understood that. You know, people like to say, well, women back in those days weren't educated. Well, here's a woman that was immoral that Christ gets on to. But she understood all of this. And she was a Samaritan. She was a half-breed. And so whenever I look at all of these prophets, you see these people. And so why is this important to us? This is important because we see in Hosea, Amos, Micah, Haggai, Zechariah, Jeremiah, where they're talking about the fulfillment of the Davidic dynasty coming back. In those prophecies, you read about it. And then you read about the fulfillment of the Abraham promises being fulfilled in Amos, Hosea, Micah, and Zechariah. You read about these, and you read about a lot more prophecies about Christ. My point to you today is, number one, it's important we as Christians understand God's Word. Because we see today people don't understand God's Word. We see people substituting God's Word for their own wisdom. And we need to understand what God's Word is. And if Christ taught about himself from the prophets, I encourage you And the reason we're slowing down, we're not reading 3 to 4 or 5 chapters a day. We're slowing down and we're trying to say, try to understand what that's saying. And if you don't understand it, be the Ethiopian eunuch. This guy was taking care of Candace's treasures. And he said, how can I understand if somebody doesn't teach me? We shouldn't be embarrassed not to ask. But we are. We don't like to, you know, we think, hey, I'm 60 years old and I should know this. But you know what? The Ethiopian eunuch was an older man and he didn't understand it. And he asked for help and Philip gave it to him and he was baptized that day. So we as Christians, if you don't understand the prophets, please read. Let's try to go through it together and ask. We all got phones. We all got texts. Hey, what do you think this passage meant? I have no clue what this poetry is. And if you'll send me that text, I'll give it to Sandra and I'll let her write the response and I'll send it back to you. Thank y'all for laughing. Y'all think that's funny? I mean, that's probably how it's going to happen, possibly. Because I have trouble with the poetry too. So today's lesson is the prophets are important. Old Testament is there. That's how the New Testament Christians of the first century learned about Christ, was looking at the Old Testament, and the prophets was that section. And this year as a church, we're going to read through the prophets, and we're going to read through the poetry, books of poetry. So please take your time and do that. You will find a lot of interesting stories. I think you will be very encouraged that our God, that our Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, is a God of time. He wasn't one and done. As John 1 said, the Word was with God and was God. And it starts off at the beginning of time in John 1. And so just think about our God is the God of all times. And we get to see that in the prophets. So if there's anyone here that needs to obey the gospel, Christ came and died for us. His blood is there for us. He will forgive us of our sin. Come forward as we stand and sing.